Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. With me here today to work on that financial freedom is one of my newest mentors, Mr. Scott Van Ostrand. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Hey, thanks.
Oh, well, you know, it's interesting. You've been a member for a long time. You've been helping people, as we know it, without being a paid mentor for a long time. And what's it different? How's it different being on the team now officially compared to just being one of the members who's helping other members all the time?
It's providing a little more structure in my life. I definitely have to carve out a little more time. Before, it was almost like either friends or people that I met along the way would say, hey, can you help me with something? And so it was very sporadic, but I was happy to do it anytime somebody asked. And now that we've made it official and we have our vast members out there that know that it's my job to help them, I get a lot more phone calls and I'm a little bit busier doing that, but it's been a lot of fun.
Have you gotten any feelings of satisfaction from it yet?
Yeah, so, you know, probably the biggest one that is brewing, and it should come to reality, I think, next week. I have a member who I actually met his wife on my first road trip back in 2000. When did I join? I guess it was in 2007. And they became very large investors with me. I've done seven deals over that time, and they are in six out of seven of those deals. Roger has been running a family business, which the family has chosen to sell, and the buyer realized his position and knowledge of the business. So they have retained him for 12 months, and my goal is to help him in those next 12 months come up with two projects of his own so that we can officially retire him from the working world, and he will be living on his income off of real estate from that point forward. The first of those deals, I actually started mentoring him on it before I was an employee, and now it'll be the first 164-unit deal that I'll close, and it's just he and one other person that are buying that deal in Beaumont. So looking forward to that one coming to fruition next week.
You know, looking here at your accomplishments so far, you've gotten a lot done in the first 60 days here. It's really quite a bit of work that you've accomplished. Three deals that are going to close, two 20 units and one 164 unit, two couples up and running as passes, and you already
actually,
done
I
the
added
diligence
a third,
project.
Yesterday. Actually, I added a third person yesterday, that number, yes, since I typed that for you.
Tell us about helping couples as passives. What kind of mentoring goes into mentoring a passive?
So, the progress that we put people through here, they meet with someone before me, and that person essentially tells them this is what you need to do to get started in the first 30 days. And it's really an educational process. You know, some of these people may have experience investing in the stock market or, you know, trying to build their own portfolios and their 401ks or whatever, but it's a little bit different scenario. And unless you've really started a business or run a smaller business, I don't think you have the level of knowledge in all facets of the business as we attain here at Lifestyles, because even as a passive investor, we really encourage them to be very involved, understand how to read the numbers, and understand, more importantly, how to ask questions if there's something in those numbers that are maybe a little bit off. And so we emphasize the education up front. Once they get through that 30-day indoctrination, and it includes some video learning, coming to some road trips so they can start to learn some of the lingo and what we're talking about, then they come to either Curtis or I here in Houston. And we start to map out for them, what is it that you're trying to do? Do you want to buy a 20-unit deal by yourself or a 40-unit deal by yourself? Are you employed, you're happy, and you're just trying to look for a better way to invest your money as a passive? And we start to map out, you know, how we're going to take them from where they are to where they want to be in 5 years. It's really goal setting and financial planning for them.
And what kinds of questions do they come up with? It's just, you know, as you speak, let me rephrase the question. Is there a pattern to it? I know when I was consulting, there were always patterns. You know, there was maybe 5 or 10 different things people would want to do, and they'd pick one or two of those patterns. Do you find that?
Yeah, I would say so. And I've seen several different things. So my first person I met with actually had 5 single-family houses that he had purchased on his own before Finding Lifestyles. And he heard a better way from the radio show on how he could be doing what he's doing and decided to come and join up and get a little deeper in things. He had a pathway. He thought when he came to me, he actually came to me for multifamily counseling. But as I looked at what he was doing and what his goals were, I realized that he knew what he was doing in single family. And we certainly have plenty of members who have gone from one to, I don't know what our top is. I think I heard somebody has 50 or maybe even 100 single families out there, and they've got an unbelievable system for how to run those things. And I realized that this guy, for what he wanted to achieve, he was already halfway there. And I said, I don't know single family, but I can tell that you could be where you want to be in a year just by doubling down on what you've already done. And with what he told me the money he had to invest was, I said, I think it'll take you longer to get there going the multifamily route, but I'll be happy to take you there if that's really what you want to do. And made him rethink what he wanted to do. And so that was one thing that happened. The common thing, I think, is passive investors who are trying to figure out how to juggle getting involved with lifestyles while working in the job that they enjoy and is, you know, paying for themselves and their lifestyle as is. And these are always conservative people. They're like-minded as we are. They're just looking for a better way to do kind of what they're already doing. And I really find myself emphasizing to them that I call this a contact sport, and that is you've got to get involved, you've got to get to our events and meet other people doing it, because they will accelerate your ability to get involved in deals, to do your own deal, whatever it is that they're trying to do. And the 3 people that I can reference that are already up and running as passives and are going to be closing on their first deal within maybe by the end of this month, I think. Those are people that took that advice, and they started showing up at the road trips, the case studies. They started shaking hands, meeting people that were doing deals, and got caught up in it very quickly.
Now, one of the themes that I ran into, and I don't know if we run into this as much anymore, and you've only been here 60 days, so maybe you haven't been through a large enough cycle yet to see this happening. But one of the themes I used to run into all the time, Scott, is somebody come to me and say, you know, I want to do single family, but then they went on a road trip, and next week they call me back, you know, I just changed my mind after seeing what I saw on the road trip. I want to do multifamily. And, you know, a week later they say, I want to start out as a passive. And, you know, a week after that they come back and say, now, you know what, after seeing this, I think I can do this too. I want to be an IRO, you know, and then they'll come back and say, you know what, I'm looking for these smaller deals. I think I'm just going to go ahead and go up to be a lead investor. Have you run into any vacillations yet?
Yeah, the one that I'm working on, they actually came in to be passives, but they're retired, and they have seen enough now where they're going, you know what, we could do, and we have the money to do a 40-unit deal on our own. Maybe we should start doing that, because they're kind of being picky, which I don't blame them for it. Probably not a bad idea on who they invested with, and that cycle takes time to understand what makes a good partner for your specific situation and finding somebody that has the same goals or is on the same track that you are. And so they're swinging back around now, and we started talking about them just doing their own deal. And part of that actually was me telling them, look, I've already got 2 people that are buying 20 units, and this is just happened in the last 45 days. So they realized that could happen a little faster, and I think, you know, sometimes you just got to push people off a cliff a little bit once they get to the edge. And so I think that couple will go that way. But all the other cycles, I don't think I've been around quite long enough to see the transition that you have in 27 years or however long you've been doing this.
Well, the next one is a more difficult question. You've done some due diligence so far?
Yeah, we actually did a deal Monday 10 days ago now for a guy. He's actually out of Central Texas, but the deal is in El Campo, which actually falls in our Houston territory. So it came to me. We went on site, didn't know, I'd never stopped in El Campo. I've driven through it on my way to fishing trips down on the coast, but I've never stopped there. So I got to go down there for a day. They had done a nice job of pre-shopping the market. We walked all the units, had some contractors there looking at everything to decide how much work needed to be done on it before going in, so they knew how to properly budget for any deferred maintenance and things like that to get the thing off to a good start. And actually, I just got a text from him 2 minutes before we got on air here, and he wants to talk this afternoon. He's redone his business analysis, and he wants me to take a look at it and kind of play devil's advocate on what he's missed and whether I think the deal will still work or not.
He is the latest, newest, most current multifamily mentor out of the Houston market area. Scott's been with the Lifestyles for a long time, owns 7 apartment complexes, is going after a few more right now, and has been helping people diligently even before he was on the mentoring team. So, Scott, I'm going to ask you probably the hardest question I ask any mentor, and I don't know if 60 days is enough for you to come up with a relevant answer, but maybe just your 8 years of helping people's friends throughout Lifestyles may give you a good sense of where I'm going with this. And that is, when I bring new mentors and I say, how do you grade yourself as a mentor? It's really difficult because, you know, you say, well, I want to grade myself that no one ever has a failed deal. And you can err on that side by saying, okay, I'm just going to say no to everything. The easiest thing for a mentor to do is to say no to everything. You'll never be wrong. No one will ever come back at you and say, hey, you were wrong on this one. I lost my butt. On the other side, we have the other kind of mentor, Scott. We have a few of these guys. They really, 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 really want to help you get what you want, to the point where maybe they're not using enough of their own personal restraint and being able to say, yeah, look, I know you really want this. I know this one really, you know, you really like this. You know, the red flags go up, the hair in the back of my neck's going up. This just doesn't seem like the right deal for you. You know, there's that balance in the middle where 99% of the people you put through deals end up doing good ones. The other 1% are people that don't listen to how to do it once you tell them how to do it. That's the perfect. The final indicator is, okay, how many people have I retired and made millionaires out of? That's a good scorecard. And how many people that I've consulted have become National Apartment Association winners? So I haven't had this conversation with you yet because you've been so busy since you got here, and I've been so busy the last couple of weeks also. Have you thought about any of those parameters or constraints as to how you would grade yourself personally as a consultant?
Wow, I really haven't thought of that. You know, you hit on a lot of things there that I have seen in 60 days and I've thought about in 60 days, but I hadn't thought about the overall kind of what do you want your legacy to be deal in what I'm doing now. I can tell you that when I am working with people, and I've done this, and this is part of the Lifestyles culture that we try to kind of push through. If you talk about people who are doing exactly what we're doing, syndicating deals, buying deals, whatever, outside of Lifestyles, so many times, I was in this conversation yesterday, those guys make all their money up front on fees and things for putting the deal together, and they really don't have a vested interest in what the long-term success is of any particular deal. Because we invest in every deal that we do, in addition to taking other people's money, I really look at this, and Curtis does a great job in the multifamily orientation session of talking about the family office, and that's kind of a new thought that he put in my head, and really figuring out how to maximize my net worth and in effect grow it. And so I look at every deal that way, whether I'm in it or not in it, now that I'm a mentor. And so the two smaller deals that I've mentored people on, they were no-brainers. And when I mentioned before, sometimes you got to give them a little shove off the cliff. That's what these were. They were first deals for these folks. But when I looked at them, it was like, guys, if you don't make a decision and do this, I got 20 other people behind you that I know will do this today. And then they eventually jumped, and they're going to be great.
I call that the cattle prod mood. You know,
there you go.
What do you do with someone that won't take action? Hit them with a cattle prod. What is that? And I used to say it all the time. I say, if you don't do this, I'm going to do it, or I'm going to give it to somebody else, but we're not going to let this one get away. So I've always called that the cattle prod move.
Okay.
Sorry to cut you off. Keep on going.
The 164 unit deal was one that we had to finesse a little bit. We had to do a little deeper analysis. It wasn't so obvious a good deal. And we had to work it a little bit before we came to grips. Unfortunately, Roger, having run his own business and being in six of my deals so far, he's very smart, very good at analyzing the numbers. And we got through that, but it took a little bit of work. Then that brings us to the one that I'm working on this afternoon, which is the out-of-town deal. This one, it doesn't help that it's not in the Houston market where I've been active for 10 years now, and I pretty well know the submarkets and things like that. This one I had to do a little homework on. And when he first brought back his initial analysis, I found some things that I thought he was trying to favor the deal a little too much. And I did have to pull him back and say, you know, my job is to keep you out of a bad deal, and here are the concerns that I have. He's gone back and massaged some of that. We've gotten a more firm loan quote, which can substantially affect the deal. And so we're going to take another run at it this afternoon. So I have seen a little bit of the spectrum, I guess, in how deals develop. I haven't had a deal yet. We had one on a acquisition road trip that a few people were pretty heavy on. And I did, we didn't get very deep into it, but I came out on the acquisition road trip and I said, this deal's too rich. There's not enough upside to this deal to make it worth our while. And we pulled a couple people off of that deal. But fortunately, we didn't get all the way down to due diligence and get everybody's hopes up to invest it in the deal. But that's the biggest problem is sometimes you get people that are doing first deals and they're emotionally invested in them, and it's hard for them to let go. And that's where I do see my kind of position here, is to make sure that people don't get a little too anxious, lose some patience, and make sure the good deal comes along. Because it took me 9 months before I got my first deal under contract, and I was completely walking the gray line between unemployed and self-employed for those 9 months. So I was definitely anxious, and Emery Jacob had to hold me back from doing a bad deal at that time. So I've never forgotten that.
Yeah, and I remember during your rise and so forth, you have an interesting personality. Your personality fears nothing, but yet you're very analytical. And I've had conversations with you in, you know, after hour conversations where it's been like, man, the world's coming to an end and we better be careful. And then I've had other conversations with you. You know what? I'm going to go do something way out here over in left field that we've never done before because I just think it's interesting and it might really pay off. So you've got a lot of versatility in your personality for being able to consult people. I want to ask you the next question, though, and that is this. About a year ago, maybe 6 months, I can't remember, time flies, you know, the last couple of months have gone very quickly. But we were sitting over G. Alexander's one day, and you were kind of pulling back, saying, you know, I don't know, I'm really kind of at the point where I might not do any more deals, and I might just start buying partners out and, you know, changing my position more like yours, Del, to where I own less stuff, but more of it. And then I'm looking at your workup for today, and man, you got like one new deal you just closed and two more deals you're going after. What did you do? Did consulting change? In fact, we got to go to a break, so I don't want you to answer this until after the break. But I'm just wondering, did you take some new Gojo juice? Are you on new vitamins? Or was helping other people got you back out there going, man, the market really is good right now. Let's get going. Be right back with Scott Van Ostern and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
You allowed 15,000 members into your sandbox.
Thank you.
And so that speaks volumes. So for that, and as a family.
So you know why I did that? Everybody always asks, why did you do this? Because I was an ugly kid. My parents used to have to put a pork chop around my neck so the dog would play with me. And so I always wanted to have friends, and I figured if I could make people rich, they might be my friend.
Join Del and his successful friends. Start with a free online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Scott Van Ostern, the Houston multifamily mentor. And Scott, before we left, I left you a question here that was basically, hey, 6 months to a year ago, you were taking your foot off the gas and starting to pump the brakes, and now all of a sudden you've got it shifted into high gear here. What's going on? What has changed?
You know, I think I've heard you use this phrase, and it's very true. The thing that can keep a lot of people away from a great life is having a really good one. And I think when you and I had that conversation, I was having a very good life. I was always pretty financially conservative. And getting out of college at 21, 22, 23 years old, I would get Money Magazine and read it cover to cover the day it showed up. I'd do all the little worksheets that they put in there on how much money you need to retire and all that sort of stuff. And in my first job out of college, I immediately went after 18% I was donating to the 401k to really get ahead of that thing. I didn't believe Social Security was going to be around, and I wasn't counting on it 45 years later. One of those worksheets, I set a number, how much I needed to retire. And a couple of years ago, we refinanced my first two deals, and I had to sit down. I only redo my personal financial statement or really look at all that stuff when they make me to get a loan done. And I redid my deal, and I went, you know what? I'm over my number. Now what do I do? It's like, do I quit? Or I'm too young really to totally quit, but you know, these things will keep throwing off cash flow for as long as I keep them. And I thought, now's the time to start focusing on the lifestyle issues and stop worrying about money. So I really didn't have a need for more deals. I didn't need them to feed my ego. I didn't need them to feed my family or anything like that. And I also, at that same time, 2 years ago, I had my first two. I have twins, and they'll be juniors in college in a couple of weeks here. But they got into college, and I realized it didn't hurt me as bad as I expected it to, having that extra money going out. So I was wondering, what do I do next? What do I do for an encore? And at some point, and this really leads into why I'm at Lifestyles Now, back around New Year's, I'm not a big New Year's resolution guy, but I had said, you know what, I need to recommit. And it just so happened about that time, a deal kind of fell into my lap. That's the one I did back in April. And about the same time, John Ridgway came to me and said, hey, I'm moving up to support this national effort that Lifestyles is going to have. You're taking my job. And I don't know if you know this, but I turned him down twice when he came to me.
No, I didn't know that.
And then he eventually sicked Curtis on me. And you do know that Curtis and I started in the Galleria pretty much together about the same time. So we used to have lunch once a week and compare notes and help each other out. And we haven't been doing that. He's gotten busy doing his thing and doing the lifestyle mentor thing as of, I don't know, 18 months or 2 years ago when he took this job. And I got to doing my deal. And Curtis called me and said, come on, man, it'll be like old times. I need your help. So he's the one that really convinced me to take the position. And it's just been a recommitment. And at the same time, I'm doing more of the things that I know that I used to enjoy, helping people, attending road trips, things like that. I'd kind of fallen off the map for the Lifestyles things for a while there. And it's gotten me reinvigorated, re-involved, and deals are coming to me. So it's not like I'm really out there looking for them. It's just that being more active again, things kind of pop up. And I just have my eyes open and, you know, decide which ones you want to do.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to throw another curveball at you along those same lines, and I'm going to put words in your mouth, which I know is unsanitary, but I'm looking at it from this point of view. About the time that all this came about, you found this deal out east back where you used to live, and it was a good excuse for you to go visit your family and friends from the past. We started really taking off nationally at Lifestyles. We started doing deals all over the country, and then the concept came to us for the first time ever that, you know what, all of these years people have been coming from all over the country to come to Texas to buy. And we own quite a few properties in Texas. I don't know what percentage. I'm not going to even guess what percentage. I don't know how many units. I'm not even going to guess. But it's a lot of properties and a lot of units. We thought about, you know, what we're doing now is that we've created a very sophisticated base of investors in all of Texas. And then we started thinking, what would it be like to take the money and the sophistication and the experience that we have accumulated in this group and take it to some podunk town that has no money, no sophistication, no nothing, or without being insulted, at least they have less experience than we do, and to be able to throw that these properties in these markets outside of the Texas market area. And you nailed one. We've had four or five others that got nailed in the last couple of months. And all of a sudden, I think what you're going to start seeing, in fact, I've already seen it, is that instead of people coming to road trips in Houston, people are flying out of Houston and Dallas and San Antonio and going to Michigan and going to Detroit, Michigan, and going to Atlanta, Georgia, and going to Phoenix and going to, you know, all these different places we have these deals. And they're now saying, we've opened up a new can of worms here, Scott. And I think you see that. I think you're feeling that. And I think that might have been part of the reason you got invigorated again.
Absolutely. So, and you're absolutely right. My wife and I, our first 2.5 years that we were married, we lived in Cincinnati, Ohio. When she got out of grad school, that was where her best opportunity was. So we moved there for a little while before we moved back to Houston. And beginning of last year, I had went on a big junk mail campaign. And so I started unsubscribing to all these things that creep into your mailbox over time from signing up for various things. And I was sitting on the couch with a football game or something on. She was on the other end of the couch doing whatever she was doing on her laptop. And I was unsubscribing and deleting all this junk mail. And one of the things that happened, ARA, which is one of the big brokers here in town, and they are national, had gotten bought by Cantor Fitzgerald. And when that happened, I had been on their website and I had set preferences, so I only got deals in the Houston metropolitan area. At the time that I started doing this, I said, why would anybody have to leave a city like Houston? There's so much opportunity here to do any of this. And I had a stated rule that if I couldn't drive to it and be home by the end of the day, I didn't need to own it. So anyway, as I'm sorting, and I didn't batch delete, I was just hitting delete, 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 scrolling through the subject lines, this Cincinnati deal pops up. And I went, huh, and I clicked on it. And I very quickly, from looking at so many deals, sized up that if this was in Houston, Texas, it was a no-brainer, and it would sell for a lot more than the price was on this posting that I saw. And so, yeah, I asked my wife, what do you think about buying this deal out of town? And we've got a business excuse to go fly up there a couple times a year and see all those friends that we left behind 20 years ago when we came back to Houston. And she said, well, whatever you want to do, if you want to manage it. I said, but it means that I've never had to do this, but I'm probably going to be gone at least one night a month going up there just to make sure everything's still running right. And she said, yeah, that's fine. You know, our two girls were out of the house by this time, and we just have one kid left there. So things are manageable. If you think it's right, do it. So we ended up doing it. I went to my three kind of largest investors that have long-term vision, and I said, guys, it's a little bit of a flyer, but will you back me on this deal? And they were all in, and we did the deal. It's been phenomenal. We've owned it since August of last year. We are on pace to return 19% cash on cash in our first year of ownership. We're in an interest-only period, so things are obviously cash flowing really well, but it's a 55 and over high yield play property, not a value play that we're having to fix up. And we kept the same management group intact. It was running really well, so I saw no reasons to shake things up there. We put in a little bit of CapEx, and we're making it even more efficient so that when the principal kicks in, our cash on cash probably won't have to dip. We'll just cover it with our increased rents that we're getting out of this place. So that's a great place. I was actually up there about 3 weeks ago, I guess, and they really wanted one of my investors, who was from Battle Creek, Michigan, founded Lifestyles on the Radio show and came down here to invest. They wanted him at the Detroit roadshow that you guys had about 3 weeks ago, and he couldn't be there. So I got to go up and be surrogate and help out and really kind of tell his story and how we met down here. And now we're investing in other markets up there. And I got to tell you, JB Data Durham had a phenomenal presentation, and not only walking around Detroit, we were staying downtown, walking the streets at 10:30 at night from a restaurant that we went out to the night before the event, and I went into Detroit with a bad attitude and walked away completely changed. They've got a lot of metrics that look really good up there, and I think they are probably pretty well poised to have some great things going on. And we have members, as you said, that found the show. Most of them came down to Dallas since it was the closest place to fly into or drive to, and did their studies. They invested in some deals there, and now they're doing deals in and around Detroit, Michigan.
With me here today is Scott Van Ostrand out of the Houston market. He's one of our multifamily mentors there. And Scott, we've been talking about the opportunities here nationwide, how we've really opened up the opportunities by going to all these different cities. However, you had made mention that there have been some very favorable metrics in the Houston area market. And why don't you share with us, you know, do you believe in your heart, or the people that put out the metrics, do they believe that we've bounced, that we hit the bottom, we're coming back?
Yeah, so the large brokers, the ARAs, Marks and Millichap, CBREs, all these guys do quarterly presentations on where they're seeing the market. And some of the metrics that I picked out of those that I think really form a bottom and an upturn in what we're seeing here are taking shape, and they seem to be across the board. These guys are all seeing it. One of the things I have to say, Curtis is chasing a Class A. I know you've got a bucket list that you want to buy a Class A, and I have had conversations with both of you telling you that you're crazy. Why would you want to go after this when things are so good in the B&C, and that's the bread and butter that's got us where we are for the last 25 years? However, I have a solid B-plus property in the Galleria area, and while 18 months ago I thought there was such a big gap between the rents on that property and the new construction and Class A stuff that we were going to be immune to downward pressure from these guys, as they've done a great job of overbuilding and really having to deal out huge concessions to get their places filled up, I didn't think we'd feel it at my place there, but we did. And it's not bad, it's not unbearable, but we felt it. Now what's happening in this Class A stuff, things that a year ago I was seeing all around me, and I live right in that area too, so I watch it, things that were 30% occupied and giving 3 months free on 15 months, it's starting to firm up. I went and did a search on my own after I saw the data come out of these guys, and I looked at all those places on a subscription service that I look at, and they're all 70, 75, even 85%. Now, there's a new batch of them coming online now that some of them are below 10% because they've just come online right by my house inside the loop there. But the stuff that I thought was struggling a year ago, it's firmed up. And some of those things have even been able to refinance now that they're above 75%, where usually we think 90% is the magic number on our stuff. So the capital, the banks, agencies, whoever they're financing with, are starting to back these deals again. And it looks like they're seeing a bottom. There's one deal on the market right now. The person built it for $175,000. A couple of years ago, before things turned down, they could have sold it for $210,000, but they were holding out because their goal was $225,000, $235,000. Now they've got an expiring loan, and they're going to bail out of it for $185,000 a door. They still made $10,000 a door building that deal, but the person that's buying it firmly believes that in the next 5 years we're going to see a return, and they're going to be able to sell that for $225,000 or something like that within the next 5 years. So I think the model that you and Curtis have actually been chasing, I've been wrong on it, and I think you guys have had the forward vision a little better than I have. And things like those Class A's, rents are up a couple of percentage points now. The margin between the B rents and the A rents is starting to grow again. I've seen my occupancy growing in the Galleria at that project I was talking about. So everything's starting to shape up really well.
Yeah, and just for those that are listening for the first time, they're not saying buy a Class A apartment complex for $175,000. They're saying $175,000 to $225,000 per door. That means per unit.
Yeah,
just want to make that perfectly clear.
Units. Yeah,
because I was looking at one the other day, a Class A, and I was like, you know, there's a big difference between a syndicator and an IRO, and I'm trying to buy it as an IRO. I don't know. I may have to syndicate one just to do one. But I'm trying to do it as an IRO. I'd prefer to do it that way. But the difference is that there becomes the depth of cash you can actually come up with. And so you look at these things and say, okay, let's say it's $150,000 a door. That's a decent number. And, you know, you got 200 units, that's $30 million, right? But if you got 300 units, that's $45 million. And that's a big difference when you got to put 25% down plus 5% closing costs. You're talking 30% of $30 million compared to 30% of $45 million. That's a hefty difference in what you have to come up with. And so I found that, you know, I'm not afraid to buy the expensive stuff, but I don't think I could buy the 300 and 400 unit ones. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about a difference of $5 million in those two scenarios that you played out there. That's a lot of cash, a lot of cash to come up with. And it's a situation where I think you're dealing with slightly lower returns than we're used to, you know, on a year-to-year basis. However, I think there's a big capital gain that's out there at the end of the rainbow for those deals.
Well, the other, you know,
it can make sense.
Given both of those or neither of those, the way I look at it is this. 10 years from now, Class A's will be Class A minus or Class B plus, and they will be the center of the market. No doubt, they will be building properties. They're going to be, you know, selling, like you say, $200,000, $250,000 a door. People will be paying $3,000 a month to rent. It's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. It's going to happen. And so if you think about it, when I first got in, Scott, I was buying 60s and 70s construction. I thought 70s were really cool. No, see, I got started in 87, 88, 89, that area. So I was buying stuff in the 70s and thought, man, this stuff's only 10 years old. This is not bad. By the time I'd been in it 10 years, I was buying stuff in the 70s and started buying stuff in the 80s. And I thought 80s construction was like, wow, Class B stuff. This is incredible. This is unbelievable. But man, we're now talking about 2017. I mean, that stuff is now like dead. It's 50, 60 years old. Somewhere those buildings have to wear out and give up and go away. So, Scott, I want to appreciate you coming on the show today. Thank you for coming on. And thank you for being a mentor, even though you turned us down twice.
It's been a lot of fun.
And for the rest of you out there, remember this. Scott, myself, and all other Lifestyles members are not doing this just for some money. We're doing it for a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.